Matthew chapter 26 is our text, and before we read from there, I'd like you to take notice of a few verses beforehand. Revelation 7:17. This is the important point that there's one point to share in the message. That is God, who is almighty, everywhere present, with all power, who always has been, always will be, needs nothing. We add nothing to him. He doesn't need our love or praise, or he does not have more glory than what he has in himself, infinitely so. The Trinity, perfectly satisfied, Father, Son, and Spirit. He is great. He is powerful. But one thing that man has never known about God is how humble, how kind, and how weak God can be or is. And so our faith has brought us to something absolutely extraordinary that is kind of embodied in this verse, Revelation 7:17. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them. The Lamb, not the lion. He is called the Lion of Judah in Revelation 5, but he's also, in the same chapter 5, he's also a lamb at the throne. The Father is at the throne. The Lamb appears standing there, and then he is filled with the seven spirits. And here we have this verse, the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne, which shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. So we have very important understanding here that we would say all religion in the world of all kinds could never grasp, never communicate such a concept that the Almighty God is a Lamb. And he is. Turn with me now to Hebrews 5. It's awesome. The concept of God is so important to us, as we shared this morning, that everything in life depends on the concept of God that we have. Or you have no God, then that all that is critically important. Hebrews 5, verse 6. As he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And Melchizedek is seen in Genesis 14 as a high priest and met Abraham. Melchizedek had no beginning of days, no end of life. He had no birth certificate, no grave tomb, gravestone. He had no beginning, dash, end, birth, dash, end. No, Melchizedek is different. Christ is of the same kind. Maybe even he was Melchizedek in Genesis 14. But he's in that order, no beginning and no end as far as his humanity. He has no record of it. Christ is God and man, became a high priest for us. Verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, with strong crying and tears. This is a event that happened in Gethsemane, which is which is the word for wine press. It's a garden on the east side of the temple wall across the Kidron Valley with olive trees and apparently a wine press, I mean an olive press. What did I call that? Gethsemane. Yes, I think, is it? No, I'm confused. Is it olive press or wine press? It seems to be, it would be olive press. Yeah. Verse 7. So in the days of his flesh, after the Last Supper, and some of us have been in Israel, been in the vicinity where the Last Supper was taken, walking down the stones, same century, those same stones, down around this way, across the Kidron Valley to Gethsemane. We wonder about Jesus' emotions at this time, because the Last Supper was a time of joy and confidence. Christ had a tremendous ministry to his disciples at the Last Supper. The things he said, he told them not to fear, that they would have joy. They had peace, like nothing else. This is not like the world gives peace. I give you my peace. He had tremendous, tremendous confidence. And I would say it sounds like at the Last Supper, comfort, greatly comforted. I go to prepare a place for you. He was ministering to them deeply, and they were receiving it. And then he said in the end of John 16, he said, now I will not speak much with you, because now the prince of this world is coming. And so he stopped speaking like ministry speaking. He was ministering at the Last Supper, but now he knew it was ending. It probably went, they don't know exactly the hour, but from 6 o'clock in the evening, the Passover, they ate, and then it went maybe to midnight. It's a good period of time, but I can imagine it relaxed, deep, personal. They loved each other. This little group of men with Jesus in the midst of it is a picture of the church. And when the church is healthy, we like to be together. That's where we are tonight. When the church is healthy, we relate to each other. And yes, strangely, but do you know that after the Last Supper, as they were walking down to Gethsemane, there was a conversation amongst them as to who was the greatest? Doesn't that sound like us? Like, turn to your neighbor and just say, doesn't that sound like you and me? Now, I say this because the emotions can radically change in us. In him, in Jesus Christ. From amazing peace, comfort, confidence, authority, and then the evil that he's going to face, that starts in Gethsemane. It seems that when he took our sins upon his body, that many writers say that they believe that it started in Gethsemane. And with his stripes we are healed, is Isaiah 53. That was before the cross. So before the cross, the lashes, the stripes are prophesied as being healing for us. We can also say in Gethsemane when it started to happen to him. and the mood changed in him, with him. And he starts to tremble. He starts to suffer. This is God. Never ceases to amaze us. This is God. Thank you, God. One thing that draws us to God is this kind of love. Not the power. The power is amazing. And the power does draw us. And so, to be honest, it's overwhelming. But when God, who is so awesome, can be so kind and gentle and humble, that God can come into our world, that God can say, I'm here, I got it, I'm here for you, I got it, I'm going to suffer for you. This Lamb of God is in the midst of the throne forever. He will be a lamb forever because he was a lamb before, from before the foundation of the world, the lamb slain for the sins of the world. So let's go to the text. Did we finish verse 7? No. Who in the days of his flesh, and we're going to read it in a few minutes, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying, Lord, where is your confidence? I have it, but I'm suffering. Lord, where's the ministry? I'm doing the best I can. I'm not talking to you now. I'm suffering. I don't have anything to say to you now. It's a different time now. It's invisible. It's spiritual. It's transcending anything you could imagine. The sins of the whole world. Wow. Pretty incredible. Verse 7. In tears, and unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard, in that he feared God. God heard him, and he prayed that God, there's different understandings of this verse, that he could have died prematurely. I don't so much embrace that idea. But he was near to death. We read that in Matthew 26. He was near to death. He was praying. But he was praying actually for the cup to, if there was any way out, if there was any other, I'm sure he knew there isn't. He came for this reason. At the same time, when we suffer, we can understand that all you can do is cry out. And God heard him. We'll see it. Turn to Matthew 26, please. In verse 26, Matthew 26:36. And you know, I know how much you folks love the Lord. I mean, in our fellowship, we have this sense. And what God did last week with Uricon and what the Lord is doing in our fellowship and adding and helping us and leading us. And I know that these portions in the gospel, we love to hear them Easter time. We love to go over them and meditate on them and worship the nature of God. Our God is not like other gods. Other gods leave you hanging. They cannot save you. They cannot deliver you. They will talk to you but burden you. They will demand of you performance. They will demand of you, they will make you guilty and afraid and frighten you. They are gods of no value. They are empty. They are lies. But our God is not a liar. Titus 1:2. God cannot lie. God is the God of truth. God is the one that loves you. And here we see it so clearly. Look at verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, sit you here while I go and pray yonder. It seems that they came to Gethsemane, and again, many of us were, you've been over there, some of you, and you can go into that. It's still there. The vineyard is still there. The trees, they estimate that the trees are 2,000 years old. It's very fascinating, almost unbelievable. But you go there and you just can imagine it. And so he said, he has 11. Judas is gone. He has 11. So 11 men, they walk down, and it takes them maybe 20 minutes to get over there. And there they are. It's a huge thing going on of incredible magnitude. We cannot even imagine what it means. How many angels, how many demons, the salvation of the world, the manifestation of God like never seen before, a conspiracy of evil, powers of men, government, money is involved, everything we can imagine, everything in a small microcosm, the world in essence, the nature, the fundamental elements there. And Jesus is there. It's the place they went to often. Judas knew that place. Maybe they had an agreement with the owner that Jesus said, you know, just check with the owner. We can sit in the vineyard, in the garden. And they would go there and just rest in the cool of the day. And he would teach and talk. And they went there often. It was the place that they went. When they were in Jerusalem, they were not in Jerusalem like days-wise. Over the three-and-a-half-year period of time, they were down every year for the feasts and the festivals, but they weren't living there, of course. So he left eight here. Then he goes, the three go with him, Peter, James, and John, and he says, you wait here. And then he goes a stone's throw away, and he prays, and he has to be alone because he's agonizing. Verse 37, he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful, very heavy. It's hitting him. It's coming on. It's strong. We don't understand it. But the one thing we can understand is that he loves us. One thing we can know, we can see here is the holy, almighty God took our sins. Verse 38. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here with me and watch with me. I need you. Wait here. Watch with me. I'll be back. He's going to pray. He comes back. You know, I need you. But no, Lord, they're not going to be there. No, you got to do this on your own. It's you. They don't know what's going on. No, Lord, they're not going to be there for you. And you know that. But maybe he's saying it also for us that never stop praying. If you understood how much your prayers would be answered, never stop praying. Maybe he's saying, I don't want you guys to get hurt. Pray and stay and wait on God and that you don't fall into some temptation or trouble. I'm going to cover you. And when they come across the Kidron Valley and they estimate there was hundreds of people They said there could have even been 1,000 people coming with the Herodian police, Roman soldiers, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and Judas coming across. You can see the swinging lanterns. You can hear the clatter of their footsteps, the clinging of swords. You can imagine that they are out there. They're going to arrest him. And he can feel it. And he cares about his disciples. Let's read it. It says, verse 39, he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Isn't that amazing about the will of the Father, but nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Is it Jesus have his own will? Yes, that's the marvel of this, that he has free will, that he could decide, but not my will, but your will. I'm always submitted to you. I'm always wanting. I delight in you. I know you. I trust in you. Not my will, but your will. But I will. We can say, I would will to get out of it, but I'm not. I could go up the hill in 20 minutes. I could be up over the top of the hill and down to the Judea wilderness within hours. And those guys could not catch me. That'd be like how you and I would think. You and I could say, you know, okay, we did the Last Supper. I'm going to keep walking. I'm gone. They won't get me. I'm gone. But for this reason, I came. There's something mystical happening because he has a throne. The Lamb has a throne, and that's his goal, to save us from hell. Wow. Wow. Saving us, wow. Verse 40, we're going to verse 46. And as he cometh unto the disciples and finds them asleep, he said unto Peter, "What, could you not watch with me 1 hour?" What? Couldn't you watch with me 1 hour? So he's got the stone's throw, and he comes back to just kind of get a little, he needs a little bit, like something, you know, like nothing. They're sleeping. What? You couldn't watch with me 1 hour? I need you to watch with me. I want you to watch with me. But no, Lord, we're not there. We're not in the game without the Holy Spirit. We're not in touch. We got another world that we live in. It's not yours. No, we can't be there. We will not be there. It will not happen. We will be sleeping. We'll be playing Twinkly Toes or something. We'll be in the refrigerator looking for another, you know, something to eat. We'll be occupied with other things. What are you doing, Lord? What are you doing? You cannot follow me now. And listen to this. You will deny me, you will forsake me, and then all the words, not, no, we will go into all that we know about this, but I want you to think about this. My cluster, my sheep, I'm the shepherd. You smite the shepherd. That means he's stricken down. You take the shepherd and throw him down, and you smite him to the ground, and what happens? That little group explodes. They explode in 1,000 directions. They are gone. They don't go in twos and threes. They're gone. They cannot hold it together. They cannot do it. Not until the Holy Spirit comes. Not until Christ is raised, not until Christ ascends and has the authority given to us so that our little cluster will hang together in the good times and the bad, that our love will endure, that we will forgive and love, and we will just kind of follow him, follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. But not in Gethsemane. Gethsemane is showing us the true nature of God and the true nature of man without God. It's showing one guy will take a sword and slice off an ear. Another one runs away naked, right? He has a linen cloth wrapped around him. And then they grab him and he runs away naked. We don't know who it was. It might have been John Mark. But that's the true nature of man. That actually his nakedness is exposed. That he doesn't have it. He cannot do it. He has no ability. And then the true nature of God is shown to us. So let's go to verse 41. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Spirit is willing, able, willing. We are spirit. We don't follow the spirit. We follow the flesh sometimes. The flesh is weak, cannot perform. The flesh cannot get done the things of God. The flesh cannot comprehend the ways of God. The flesh does not know God. The flesh cannot do the things of God. The flesh cannot fight the devil. The flesh cannot overcome in this trial. Verse 42, but it doesn't mean they shouldn't pray. He's just teaching again. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Remember, the main difference between people and the world is my will be done, and or your will be done. That's all. Hell is when people go to hell, it's basically God is saying, your will be done. This is your will. It's your decision. It's your will be done. People go to heaven, it is my will is done. My will is done. My will is that all would go. I have no delight in the death of the wicked. I came to save them. So, verse 42. He went away again the second time. Did we do that one? No. And prayed, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. He came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. I want to make this short. I want to finish because I think I said what I wanted tonight. But I want to say, he comes, he goes, comes back. Goes again, comes back the second time, and he goes a third time. Now, the third time, this is when things change. This is when something happens. Just before, right at this third time, he's like looking for, and then it's a change. There's something that happens. It says that an angel came and ministered to him. It was like done. It like something happened. The page was flipped. The chapter ended. It was now like now he goes. He's different now when he comes back from his prayer in the third time. And let's see if it's written in this gospel. It says, "Yeah," he says. 45. Then comes he to his disciples and said to them, "Sleep on now. Take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that does betray me." Now, this is the Gospel of Matthew, and I'll complement it by memory with the general, the Gospels. It goes like this. An angel comes, I believe it's in Luke, and strengthens him, and it seems that he's changed. And he comes back and goes, you can sleep on now. It's now like, and then he says, the hour's at hand, more or less, they're coming now. Now, whether they could see them at that point, it's not a long walk. I mean, they can come out of that gate and in 20 minutes be in the garden, even shorter maybe. But he said, now it's, and when they come, and Judas is there to identify in the dark the right person, which means that Jesus could blend in with the crowd, but they had to get the right person to arrest him, and Judas would identify with a kiss. And then those amazing words in the different Gospels, you know, and when he said, I am he, and they all fell down. I am he, you know, who are you looking for? And he says also, leave these alone. He wants his disciples to be left alone. You came for me. I am here. I am ready for you. I came for this reason. These are my words. I have been strengthened by my Father. An angel came and ministered to me. I am ready. I know what I have to do. The suffering has started, but I am now able to face my accusers. I am able to go, to the Sanhedrin. I'm able to go before Caiaphas, Annas, the Sanhedrin. Then I go before Pilate. And the whole thing, and I will be crucified. And he knew it. Of course. The prophet said it. I'm amazed that we can, you know, I'm just amazed we can know these things. I'm amazed that there's something we can always get from there that helps us so that we are worshipers of God. He is so humble. He is so amazing, and he is so strong and great, and then he is so, you know, he's so much like us. He's so much like us, and he loves us, and he did this for us, so we are saved, forgiven, loved. Eternally, if he did that when we were sinners, how much more, being saved, does he care for you and me? If he did that when we were far away from him, how, and he drew us by that love, what did he do? And this is where, in the Islamic world, they don't get it. They can't understand but it's yearning. They want that in their heart. A living God who is great, but is great this way, that he captures our hearts so we can love him, because he loves us. So that's it. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we just are amazed by this story of humanity and deity blended perfectly, thoroughly in a mystery, that God so loved us that he did this for us to take our sins away and give us eternal salvation. And anyone listening to me tonight, just say in your heart to God, I need you, I want you, I want to know that love. I want you in my heart. I want you in my life. There's no God like you. I believe you'll not withhold any good thing from him that is walking by faith uprightly. Yes. And then in heaven, it'll be so beautiful because it'll be so humble. There'll be so much connection. There's so much purity, there's so much humility, there's so much service, there's so much love, generosity, They're such great words of counsel and kindness and tenderness. There's just incredible nature of God forever and ever in your presence, because we saw it in this story. This evil world is consumed with itself, and we have found another way, and that's to be consumed with you. Thank you, God. Fill us with your Spirit and lead us. And then anybody listening, come to Jesus tonight by faith in him. Just hear what we said tonight and walk by faith in him, and he will love you, forgive you, encourage you, speak to you, guide you. Learn your Bible, walk by faith in it, have friends that are godly, make good decisions. We are in a very, very evil, wicked world that is bombarding us with ungodliness and lies. But be encouraged at the seashore, the sky, the stars, the child, the dog, the fruits, the vegetables, the trees, the nature, the church, the word, the kindness, the grace, the godliness. Be encouraged and enjoy lovely and virtuous things and live a new life, not an ungodly one, but a new one. In Christ's name, amen.